You're listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first
and best
webcomics podcast on the planet, and the one podcast that's just waiting for someone to invite them on a journey where new headwear will be obtained. I am your host, and I am spending this script as soon as I get it, and no, I don't care what you say, I'm not using it on a new rifle. The one we have is just fine. Now bring on the smokes and drinks! I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is the nicer, unassuming, smarter member of the duo, and yet he'll still be the one getting us in trouble over a freaking book. He is Steve the Geek Shitty.
I keep very good maps and good books. And of course I'm the nice and smart and intelligent one. Come on! The short one always is.
There you go. I was going to say, the bigger point is that I gave you the short one and I'm the tall one. I think it should be reversed. You would definitely be Spondool and I would be Navachette. But that's neither here nor there. But we are going to talk about those characters in the comic we're talking about today, which is titled The Third Voice. It's brought to us by webcomics luminary Evan Dom. You know Evan Dom from Rice Boy and Order of Tales and Vatu, among other works that he's done over the years. Just top-notch fantasy stuff. This is his latest. It is a little over 100 pages long so far. I think it updates around 10 pages each update. And yeah, we're looking at the comic. And this comic is, as I said, a fantasy. It is kind of a fantasy post-apocalyptic world. We're told in the beginning kind of a prelude about something that has befallen the world, and the people basically they don't travel as much anymore. Like there's areas of the world they don't go to because of the bleach, whatever the bleach is. We haven't fully been told what that is yet. It's just, you can get it from the title because, you know, bleach is something that washes everything clean and also disinfects, I guess, and
true.
Turns it white.
All
I mean,
true.
These are, yeah, trying to think of things that bleach does, so it's like, okay, that could be it.
Turns but, into a poison if you pee on it, you know, like the world.
Is that true of bleach? I didn't know that of bleach.
Yeah, don't pee in your ammonia, or yeah, don't pee in your bleach. It'll kill you.
Oh, hashtag not a doctor, but I'm going to trust you on that one. I also won't pee in bleach. I had never planned on doing that. But
yeah, it's one of those really low-risk things to agree to do. You're like, I could verify if Steve was right about peeing in bleach, but I wasn't going to pee in bleach anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, but good to know. So so that exists out in the world, and there are other types of characters that were introduced through the course of basically following along two main characters so far, whose name, as I mentioned before, are Spondool and Navachette. I'm not sure. If you want to go with the American, we're probably going to call them Spondool and Navachette. If you want to go with French, it's Spondool and Navachette. I have no idea how they're pronounced, but these are the two main characters. They are gleaners, which are basically scavengers from the war-torn world. They go through the lands finding different things in, you know, defunct tanks and destroyed war zones, and finding things, helmets, as I mentioned before, cool headgear, and maps, drawing maps of the areas they see, but also, you know, kind of learning about the world. Gleaners, they're gleaning things from it. But it also seems like from the places they go that gleaners are not well respected and even hated by some people. So they do come to a keep at one point, and that's where they try and sell the things that they've found. And again, they're met with some resistance because people don't really like gleaners. They can't be trusted, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, eventually they show why, because neither of them can be trusted. Like Navachette is carrying maps and gets a book from the witch. Oh, what are they called? The witch.
Witch band.
There you go. Which seem to be these large, not always large, but white cloaked figures. They're supposed to keep the bleach at bay, it says, but they're very imposing. And they basically try and kill Spondool at one point, choking him to death. So they have the adventures in the keep, and then they escape from that. And, yeah, it's, it, we haven't done a whole lot with these characters yet, but they're very much the ones we've followed so far. And so we've gotten the best look at the world through their eyes and what they have done in this world. And I found the journey so far just to be... Evan Dom is a master at world building. And this is, I think, a masterclass in that, told just through two characters. So what were your thoughts on the third voice?
Yeah, Evan Dom never disappoints when it comes to just building a fantasy world that feels both thought out, but also mysterious. Like, he doesn't go into what is Spondul or what is Navi? Like, what are these creatures? How are they related to each other? That's never addressed, but the scaffolding of the world exists. It's a lot like Elden Ring or Dark Souls or Hollow Knight, one of those games where you're just kind of seeing the end result. You're walking through the ruins of this world and you just kind of have to fill in the pieces yourself as you explore. And I love that. I really, really love that. And the characters are all very distinct. They look their part. It's all very fairy tale. It's very old myth in that I am the story keeper. I am the young child learning. I am the one who keeps the map. I am the one with a penis for a nose. All these classic tropes that people have had for years. And
classic tropes. Sorry, I just have to jump in there. Classic trope, you know, penis for a nose. Everybody's got it in their fantasy story. I was going to say gonzo-nosed, but okay. He also has a penis for a nose. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a prehensile one, though. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. No, and it's just, I love walking through these worlds. Rice Boy was one of my favorite comics ever when we read that years and years ago. I've always meant to go back and read Vatu and the other one.
Order of Tales.
Order of Tales, thank you. And it's because these worlds, I want to go there. I want to go to a world like this and just experience all the whimsy for myself. So I love that we've got these two characters to follow along. I love that they're kind of just trying to make it in this world. I want to see where they end up next. They seem like a fun people to go along. It doesn't seem to have the overarching story yet. I don't know if that's coming, where like somehow they are going to battle against the Bleach or what. Does the fate in the world revolve in their, or end up in their hands for some reason? Possibly. Or it could just be them, you know, seeing the world as they're able to understand it. I'll take either one.
So yeah, the two characters, Spondul is definitely the more... take things as they come, you know, they get their payment for what they sell and he gets his script and he immediately goes and sells it and goes and spends it on smokes and drinks and just lives it up and says like, we're going to stay here the night. And so I'm just going to have the time of my life. And Navichette is instead the planner is, I think if we're going to go to an overarching story, it's going to be through that character because that is where the maps are going to come into play. And like, I know there's a bigger thing going on here. I've just been, you know, cataloging it for so long. She is very adamant about that lunchbox that has all the maps and now the book in it. So these are things that she prizes and there's a reason why. So I think if we're going to go to that from this story, from these two characters, that's where it's going to go. But I could also see us jumping to brand new or a new character or a new race or whatever somewhere down the line and be like, okay, now we're going to look at this aspect of the story and we'll come back to them later. So I don't know where it's going, but I know that I'm, like you said, I'm really enjoying being in the world and getting to know the world through these characters. And I'm enjoying the characters themselves. Like they're alien in some way. They're not human, but they have extremely human traits and characteristics. So they just seem like two scavengers walking through the world together. Doesn't matter what alien race or whatever they might be. They're just two characters and they're really well written and they're relatable. Which I think is a key to making something like this. It's an alien world. You know, there's two moons. There's other creatures walking around. It's a lot like Star Wars. And so you have to have something to ground you. And I think these really relatable characters right off the bat are really smart and they give you a grounding element to this fantastical world that they're existing in. So, we could talk about the world building. We can talk about the things that we do know, that we have learned. But again, it's so out there. I will say that Evan, he did this Summon Rice Boy, and probably his other works as well, and it's probably ramped up. But he leaves editor's notes like you would in a comic, like a mainstream comic, like you're reading Spider-Man, and it says like editor's note: this happened in Amazing Spider-Man 217. Like, oh, cool, I can look that up. He leaves these editor's notes, but they're like in-world editor's notes. So it'll say like, the White Traverse was around 21 years ago, and the Great Defense was around the last Red Occlusion. It's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I love that. I freaking love that. It's just more of those little nuggets you would find in a dystopian video game. So bring it on. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah. No. It's gives a flavor to even that element of the comic. Like, it's not him just jutting in there like, hey, by the way, this is what I meant when they said this. It's, yeah, somebody in the world leaving these notes, and it's like, I mean, sure, I'm glad you know what that means. I have no idea what you're talking about. Someday it may be clear. It may not. It may be something I never learned because I'm not actually in this world. But, yeah. A lot of, I can't understand that. I don't know what he's talking about. But, oh, okay, that's cool anyways. So, and the story, I mean, as I said, they escape the keep when they are, they find that Navachet,
just call her Navi.
In my mind, you're so many different ways.
Navi, that's what
Navi,
Spondul calls her. That's her familiar term. We're good friends with her, Navi. We can call her Navi.
All right. Navi, has the book. The witch band find out that she has that, so they're like, no, you cannot keep that. And Navi says, well, we have to go. And again, it's very funny that Spondul is the one not really creating havoc, but just the one just living life carefree. You would think that character would be the one that would get them kicked out, and he even says that. He's just like, I mean, come on, I'm the one that's supposed to do that stuff. I'm the one that the reason we should be running away, not you. What do you have? Like, why do they want to kill us so badly? It's like, I can't tell you. Let's just go ride that bike. I love that. The duo of them is just, yeah, I would love to follow them for an entire story. I don't know if we will. Time will tell, but I really just like these characters, and I like their setup, their reliance on each other through this world, and the terrible things that may befall them as they go through this world. I mean, the spoilers, but at the very end of the current update cycle, I think it's page 107, 108, 109, somewhere in there, that another gleaner is hired basically by somebody at the keep. It was like the keep master or whatever. They give him a title, but I forget what it was. Basically to hunt them down and get that book back. And so he follows them into the mountains, and Navi says, get the rifle. Like, get the rifle. You're the rifleman. You know what you're doing. So, you know, just take your time. Take him out. We can't let this book fall into his hands. And so there's a long setup of, she even tells him, breathe in. And as you breathe out, that's when you squeeze the trigger. And it's just this perfect setup of like, oh man, this is going to be so sweet. Is he going to take it out? And as soon as he pulls the trigger, it backfires into his eye and just blood squirts everywhere. So the assassin, you know, is down lower on the mountain, just looking up, and all he sees is the, it's like, I found them. So it keeps you guessing. It's not just a, you know, run of the mill, I can tell what's going to happen with these characters. Like, and so right now where we're at, Spondul is bleeding very profusely from the head and has just saved their lives after kicking the assassin in the stomach as he tried to, you know, jump on him, get the jump on him. So it's cliche to say it about Evan Dom's work, but it's got everything. It's professionally made. All the pages are nice and neat, the same size, which is because Evan knows that this is going into print at some day, or he wants to print it. And, you know, it's not his first rodeo as far as that's concerned. So he's like, I'm just going to get that done right now. The formatting will be done. So this is ready to go to print whenever I decide. So yeah, there's no like giant surprises there, but with his world and the characters and the right, he doesn't need it. Like, you don't have to rely on, you know, intricately detailed panel layouts and everything. It's like, no, I just tell the story straightforward.
I agree with you, but I think there's more, it's a little more elegant than you're making it sound there. Just like the backgrounds are really pretty. Everything, it just oozes professionalism and detail. And I think it works. But yeah, you're right. It's not like he's pushing any boundaries with formatting or anything. But you don't need to.
Yeah. No. I just pointing it out because, you know, a lot of the webcomics we look at now are, especially with all the Tapas and Webtoons stuff, it's like infinitely scrolling, or find a way to add the padding in between these panels because I know that you're just scrolling this comic forever and you don't want to get exhausted. And this is, it's kind of a nice change of pace. Just to read something that's just formatted for the page, straightforward, read each page, move on. It's just, it reads so quickly. Like all of Evan Dom's work has, like you might read the 500, 600 pages that Vatu ended up being, but you'll probably read it in an afternoon because right. You just won't be able to put it down. It's like, oh, well, I'm done with that. I was planning on reading that over 3 weeks. Crap. Now what do I read? So, it's currently updating. It is, like I said, it's a new comic. It started fairly recently, so you'll read along with it. But I think the updates are pretty chunky, so it'll be easy to keep up with in that way. And again, I'll just say it's Evan Dom, so you should be reading this.
Yeah, why are you still listening to us? Go read all of Evan Dom.
The tagline of this podcast. Listen to us for 3 or 4 minutes and then just go read the comic. Never come back.
No, come back for the first 5 minutes of the next one.
I highly doubt. Well, the way I listen to podcasts, I listen to all of every podcast. So I don't just skip around unless it's, yeah, very extenuating circumstances. So I would imagine that's the same case here. But if it's not and you have not read this comic yet, please go read The Third Voice. You'll be happy you did. That will do it for this episode of Digital Strips. If you have any comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
I gleanerly am at Idahobo.
I don't know how that word barely worked. I'm not going to say it worked, but you got it out and didn't fall out of your chair, so I salute you.
Thanks.
Or if you prefer, you can head over to our website, that is digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. And that email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And we give special thanks to Chime and Adam Tell for our music, which is from their song Hole, that is W-H-O-L-E. You can find Hole along with many other great copyright-free songs on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Spotify. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show featuring two guys who have never met in real life, giving each other plenty of reasons to stick to that decision. That show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find Then You Ruined It along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If those platforms allow for reviews, please leave us those 5-star reviews along with some kind words. Those would really help us in the sad days that we experience.
Which are so often. Always sad.
I was going to say infrequently, but... to each his own. I'm happy. I'm happy you're here with us. But until next time, for Digital Strips, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
I will always be Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you in the fourth panel. Where who knows what terrible thing will happen to you when you think everything's going your way.
That's why I don't think things go my way.
You just assume things are bad and it's going to get worse?
I just always assume something's going to blow up in my penis nose.
It's the penis nose. It catches me. It comes out of nowhere.
No, you never want that to happen. You never literally want a penis nose coming out of nowhere.
Very true. Don't touch it.
Is that what you call it when it sneezes?
And we've gone blue.